Hey, deserving listeners, this episode is just for patrons of the podcast. So if you're listening to this, then you are a patron, and thank you so much for being a patron. This episode is an excerpt, one of the excerpts from the 11th anniversary show. Now, if you're one of those people who doesn't like rambly episodes, then I wouldn't recommend listening to this. But if you like that sort of thing, then listen. So enjoy.
Psychology in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. What are we doing with top 11s?
Things you like about each other. Patron Sarah suggested this one.
Number 11, your organization skills. Because you've got lots of skills. One of them's organization.
Nunchuck skills.
Yeah, you're just so organized. Mm. Like, it's impressive, commendable, and inspiring. You make lists, and you have journals, and you record things and put them in places, and, you know, it's really great.
Thanks. And my number 11 for you, Berto, is that you're super smart.
Oh.
So you're a very smart person. Oh. You like to act like...
like a troglodyte?
Well, like... you're a regular guy or whatever.
I'm a regular guy.
But you're actually not regular because I've actually tested your IQ. You're almost off the charts. So, and it's not just that, but it's also like...
you embarrass me.
I've podcasted with a lot of people, and your ability to pull things together and you know, think about things in a critical way is, you know, it's enjoyable to have a back and forth with you about that.
That is very touching.
What's your number 10?
Your can-do attitude.
Hmm. What does that mean?
Like, a lot of people say, including me, like, oh, we should do such and such or whatever. But like with you, when we were in a band or when we've been doing this or even taking trips or whatever, it's like, it's part of your being organized, but it's like, we can do this and we're like, here's how we're going to do it. And like, and if there's difficulties, it's like, well, we can overcome those difficulties. Like we're going to record a CD. We can finish the songs. We can play that show. We can, you know, it's very, again, inspiring and positive.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Number 10 is you're non-judgmental. Yeah, maybe some of the listeners might be surprised by that, but in general,
I'm surprised by that.
In general, You're non-judgmental. You are, like, there's a lot of opportunity to be judgmental of a lot of things we talk about. You know, there's a lot of opportunity to be like, I don't, you know, we've had other people on the podcast before where they, they just have, you can just feel it. Like, they're not convinced, you know?
Sure.
And you generally have a non-judgmental attitude. And I guess towards me, you know what I mean? Like, I don't ever get any sense of contempt or judgment towards me, you know?
I can't believe you said that.
Yeah. All right. Number 9, Berto.
That's interesting. How dependable you are. Mm. Like, I don't mean dependable like I can depend on you. Like, you wear Depends, and that's a commendable... No. No, the fact that, like, you know, one of the few people I know that I can, like, oh, Kirk said he was going to do this, so it's going to get done. Or, hey, Kirk, I need you to help me with this one thing. It will if you say you can, it will happen. Hmm. Or even just the fact that, like, who could I call right now if I need some advice or some help? Like, you're there in that very short list, you know? And I think it's just like permeates everything about you. It's like you are a person of your word, and you are very trustworthy in that way.
Hmm. Thanks. I pride myself on that. And I hate it when other people aren't like that. Number 9, when you like something, Berto, you really like it.
Yes, this is true.
So
this is true.
So
I'm nothing if not that.
when you like like a drink on a menu.
Yes. Oh God, I'm salivating as I think about it.
or a song, or, you know, like karaoke, or a bar, or a person. Like when you like, and so I like this because I'm like that too, maybe to a lesser extent. But I feel like most people are, you know, they either don't love life as much as you and I do, or they don't like to put themselves out there, you know? Whereas you're completely unafraid. You're just like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Well, it's not hard because I'm not acting. It's like, I love, like, the things I love, I absolutely love.
But you don't actually hate things very much, you know, aside from the trilogy.
Well, no, there are things I actually hate with a complete passion, but I guess
You just don't talk about it much.
I don't talk about it much.
Right.
And when they shine through, it's... Yeah, it can get dark.
But so. I just know, like, if... Like, when you and I went to see Love, the Beatles, in Vegas, you and I walked out... Now, you could have been like... Because so many people that I do things with, you walk out, and I just know they're going to be like, well... It was okay, but this other thing, you know, I just know like...
Oh, you should have seen, if you like that.
Like a lot of people, they'll, it's like they look for the shitty things or, you know, which is fine.
Yeah.
But that's not who I am. I want to, I have so many days left on this planet. Yeah. I want to waste it doing things. I could just say in my head, that was amazing and it'll be amazing, you know? And so I like that about you. Your number eight party.
Number eight. Sorry, screen fell asleep. Oh, wait, that's the wrong list. Da, 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 da. Oh, yeah. Things we like about each other. Oh, yes, of course. Your love of your family.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, it's not just the fact that you've been posting all these rich stories and pictures that you found and dug up. But ever since I've met you, way before you were doing that, it's like you talk about your family in these very endearing terms and it's clear you're very close with your parents and your whole family, actually. And you have these big family reunions and you get a lot of enjoyment from actually like helping organize and being there. And then you tell me all about it and I see pictures and it's just like, it's a big part of you. And then when Stacy came into your life, like that became part of that too. And I've met a lot of your, not a ton because you have such a family, but the people I've met from your family, like I can sense that through them. About you, and you know it's great.
Yeah, I'll blame my parents for that. My parents, particularly my dad, was one of his big lessons for me. Was like, you know, family is the most important thing. It was one of those like classic movie moments. And and my family is legit great. And like my parents, you know, they come to all of our live shows. They're probably down there at GameWorks right now.
I don't think I've ever seen seriously more supportive parents.
Yeah.
Ever.
No. Every concert I go to, like, I'm guaranteed never to have just one person.
Right.
Because my parents will
That's
be there.
That's crazy.
My mom was one of the very first people. Actually, both my parents were back in the early days of the podcast when, like, three people were listening.
She was one of the listeners.
You know, they were listening to the podcast, complimenting. You know, they're just...
It's crazy.
They're... And, you know, just to put a fine point on it, I came across, so I treated, back in the day, I used to treat a lot of 13-year-olds, and I was just like, man, 13-year-olds are rough. They're insecure, they're snotty, not all of them, but they can be. And I was like, was I like that? And I watched an old video, home video of me being 13, and yes, I was a total insecure snot. And just, you know... Just awful to watch. And, but I asked my parents, I was like, was I like that all the time? And they're like, no. And I'm like, but in that video, they're like, you weren't a snot. And I give them every opportunity to be like, well, yeah, you had some rough years there where, you know, it was a little hard to deal with. 100%. Everything's fine. You're a great kid. Don't worry about it. You know, it's just like, even when I'm trying to get them to hate me, it's like, all right, what number was that?
Well, you have to do your, because I said...
You did your eight.
Eight, yeah.
All right, my eight for you is that you are the funnest person to invite to a party.
That's fair.
Like, the party has not started until you show up.
I pride myself on that.
So I've had... multiple events, multiple parties. I mean, as evidenced by you leaving the room for 5 minutes and the podcast, the podcast energy just went, I can't imagine, you know, I throw recurring parties at the house, you know, Oscar party, Christmas party. I can't imagine you not being there. If you weren't there, like 75% of the enjoyment would be gone.
I have to say, I didn't put this on the thing, but now that you're saying that, I would have. You throw great parties. but, you know, it is as you've talked about my psychology and stuff like that, part of it is that feeling of like, I got to fill the silence. I got to fill the void because of my issues. But then the flip side is, I just don't see the point of not having fun at a party.
Yeah.
So I kind of, something does switch mentally for me, and I'm like, this is what we're doing.
Right.
We're having fun.
Me too.
And I was like that Since I can remember.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, you're number 7.
Oh, and by the way, sorry, one last thing. My friend Ty, whom you've met.
Yeah.
In high school, him and I were like that too.
Oh.
Like, because we would go to dances, and when no one was dancing, the two of us would be like, let's dance. And then and we didn't just care. We just like, it was just fun.
Yeah, same.
All right. Number 7. Oh, your passion for psychology.
Oh.
Like, okay, so he's a therapist. But no, but it's like, who would do 11 years of this on this topic without a passion for it, right? Like,
yeah.
And it's clear because you don't just do, because we could just do these kinds of episodes or just like the fun things with me, but then you like really go deep on these topics and like you get so excited about it. And,
yeah.
And it shows through because everyone loves it. And so like it is, it's rare to meet individuals because a lot of folks have to work for a living and a lot of times they don't get to maybe be as passionate about it. Maybe it started passionate or maybe it never did, but like you actually, like, it's clear you love what you do. It's great.
One of the biggest bummers about dying is that I know, like, in my last few thoughts, I'm going to be like, but there was that last episode. That one topic.
I didn't do that episode.
Or, like, those 20 emails I didn't respond to. All right, my number 7 for you is that, oh, this is a big one. I'm surprised it's not higher. But your willingness to push past our fights. We've had fights. It's been well documented. Some of them actually we've never had like an actual fight on the podcast.
We've had intense arguments on the podcast, but we've had real ones outside of the podcast.
Like friendship threatening kinds of events.
Right.
And the fact that you're willing, very willing, to say, okay, well, let's push past it. Now, you're not necessarily going to be like, I'm going to forget about it completely. Yeah. You know, you're not one of those people that just like puts yourself in the back burner, but you're just like, you're loyal in that way. And, and you're just like, okay, you know, let's push past it. You know, let's make this happen.
Yep.
And that's a big deal. 'Cause a lot of people, they're not like that. You know,
I know some of those people.
Once you have that fight and once you're, you know, 'cause the fight from either one of our side, we felt completely devastatedly hurt by the other person in those moments.
Yeah.
And for weeks after, we're just like, I can't believe, is that what that other person is capable of? Is that what's behind the nice facade that they have such contempt and unreasonableness and hate in their bones that, you know, and to transition from that perspective to, well, you know, let's see what we can do with this. You know, that's a big deal. So I like that about you, Bert.
Damn it. You're making me tear up. Because
you're on camera this time.
I know. Because part of the thing is that I do have a good memory. We've talked about, like, I remember a lot of things about my life. And I just, again, like, I like to look at the net of things, not the overall net, not like the net from last weekend or something. And it is really hard for me. In fact, one of the things that's hard for me to understand are breakups, for example, long-term breakups, because I'm like, did it? But what about all those times? Like, is that like? And I realize some of that might get to the unhealthy attachment thing. But to me, it's not enough to tear away a foundation just because like you put a bad rock. Like if you keep putting bad rocks, that could finally maybe crumble the whole thing. But that's why you want to catch them early. And so like certainly it helps when. In this case, you is willing to be like, well, yeah, well, okay, that's a bad rock, but let's keep putting good rocks.
Yeah.
And I've had people in my life that are unwilling to put the good rocks or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Me too. All right. You're number 6, Brito.
All right. Things about you. Your ability as a teacher.
Oh.
So I've not witnessed you like in your classes, like, oh, well, that you know of. Maybe I was secretly. But I haven't seen you in that. But I've just, through the podcast, through when you talk to people, when I see you interact with questions and all these things, as well as to me, and it's clear that not only are you good at, but you really also enjoy teaching, imparting knowledge. Like, one of the things that's been great is there's many cases where I have a preconceived notion about something. And then you take the time to be like, well, actually, that's a common way to think about it.
The thing is, the thing is that
exactly. So I really, that's another thing I admire.
Yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, on some level, it's an arrogant, know-it-all, spouty kind of situation. But on the nice edge of the sword, it's can be helpful to some people sometimes. my number six for you is okay, so maybe we'll both cry. You're one of the few friends that I know will last forever in a consistent way. Mm. So I have a lot of friends, and I've had a lot of friends. And if I really thought about it, some of my friends right now, it's like there might come a point where, you know, don't cry too much because you're going to make me cry. But in, you know, 10 years are...
Come on. Crying is for wusses. Don't you always say this? Isn't that one of the phrases on your t-shirt? Oh, <God. laughs> Crying is for babies.
So where, you know, like, I mean, not just because of the podcast, obviously, but because you care. And I think, you know, we like each other. And so it's just nice because it's just hard to get good friends, you know, and it's hard to depend on someone and really interface with someone in a meaningful way, in a fun way, in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
And just know that it'll always be there. You know what I mean?
I feel you, brother. I feel you. Well, because when we're growing up, you know, I have friends too. I have friends too. People like me, goddammit. But you don't know, like, you don't know what friendship is. Or, you know, like, you just meet people and then you spend time with them. And then over the years, you finally start kind of making opinionated judgments about how you want to spend your time and with whom and doing what and stuff. I've had a lot of relationships that I thought were friendships that over the years I'm like, well, okay, that's someone I know or
right.
Whatever. But yeah, all these things that we're listing is because it's more than that. It's,
yeah.
It's like Ohana means family.
And the podcast has enhanced that in this weird way because we are forced to sit down and just, you know, knees to knees, just
brothers in arms,
talk for hours.
Yep.
And also the dependence on each other to be able to riff back and forth and, you know, to know that the other person has their back. It's really a magical thing. Cause like I said, I've podcasted with a lot of people. Like Bob is a good friend, but maybe we will in the future, but we don't have that kind of thing on the podcast that both is friendship and interesting. But anyway,
The weaving together.
Number five, bro.
Number five. Well, your vision to make the podcast.
Yeah.
I've talked about it a little bit before. To me, this really was kind of a casual thing. You just approached me and you're like, hey, would you want to do this podcast?
It was a very casual.
And I'm like, yes, and, right? So sure, let's do it. It's not that I didn't think it wouldn't last. I just had no ideas about it. I really was like, sure.
Yeah.
Whatevs.
Yeah.
But I remember you, I know that we didn't exactly know how to do it at first, but you did have a vision. And then I remember over the years you would say things and that at the time I was like starting to realize this isn't just like he's not just flying by the seat of his pants. I mean, we were in many ways, but like he wants this to go somewhere and he's got kind of an idea of what this could do. And so I really thought, wow, that's impressive. Like not a lot of people have a vision and that they stick to that vision and then they try to make it into something real. And 11 years later, they wear a blue t-shirt with words, you know, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's interesting because it was never a choice. It's just been a mild obsession of mine since the beginning. My number five for you, my favorite thing about you, is that you put up with my bad qualities as a friend and as a person. you know, in some ways, you deal with my bad qualities as much as Stacy does.
Just, and your pod wifey, waifu?
just in a different way. You know how when you're with your friends, you can sort of like protect your friends from your bad qualities. But because of the nature of our relationship, the projects we've worked on, the podcast and whatnot, like you've had to deal with all my bad qualities for the most part. Like being arrogant, talking over you, for example, not really listening to what you're saying. not really regarding what you're saying, being a dick in the process, you know, like Stacy has to deal with that, but you know, she married me, so she's locked in. Yeah. She can't get away.
Once you go marriage, you never go carriage.
Once you go yellow, you don't want another fellow.
Oh boy. careened off the side.
But anyway, no, I, you know, other friends, I can be, you know, I can sort of like not be a dick to them. But with you, it sort of brings that out in me in the same way that your bad qualities come out with me. And you, you put up with it. You know, you not only just stay a friend of mine, but you actually, you don't even really react when it's happening. Like you don't go, you don't walk away from those moments and go like, even in the moment, I notice you don't really, you just kind of go, okay, well, I guess he's being a dick right now and he must be upset about something. And you just sort of, you know, you just sort of, he'll figure it out or, well, like, he does that sometimes. Like you don't, you know what I mean? I noticed that and, you know, that's a big deal to me. So
maybe partially it's because we didn't just like meet and then start doing one thing and then I notice your bad behavior. Like we had so many interactions that grew. And so there was so much time for me to get to see so many positives and so many good interactions that it did build that foundation. Yeah. And so I think, there's that. And then there's also, I think I do believe that 99% of the time, you don't mean harm.
Yeah.
So.
Well, anyways. I'd like to think 100% of the time.
Well, no, because that was that one time. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You're number four.
All right. Well, you didn't like the before I did. Well, but my number four is your songs.
Oh.
So literally, not the fact that you write songs, but literally, your, I love your songs.
Wow.
So I remember.
I think you might like them more than I do.
Maybe, actually, because I'll tell you this. When we used to try to find bandmates and things like that, oftentimes people would also be writing their songs and they would send us a sample. And me always very arrogantly was like, in my mind was like, oh, that's good, but not as good as our stuff, you know, that kind of thing. I remember when we met you, Shun and I met you, and then you're like, oh, I want to be in the band. And I also write some stuff. I'm like, okay, well, send us your recordings. It was the first time I could remember where I heard your recordings. I was like, that's really good, you know, and then when you were in the band, I never felt, like, not only did I never feel like, okay, and we got to do Kirk songs. I was really excited when you presented songs.
Yeah. The first band Berto and I were in, it was three singer songwriters and we all traded off and, you know, we were all pretty complicated, good songwriters in my opinion. And we were like, you know, it was like Paul and John. We would just trade off different songs. And it was, that was, I'd never had that before and since. That like actual other songwriters in the band.
And so for me, the songs you did before, because you've shown me stuff, the songs you did with The Liquid Now, the songs you did, and some of them you had brought, but you adapted all these things. And that was the other thing. It was really great because like you wanted to match the style in some cases, all these things. The songs we did in Missionary, like, I love that album. I love your songs in that album. Okay, so that, and then the songs you did, like the songs you're playing today, the songs you've done with Bread Knife. But pretty much every time you play a song, it's good. And like, I always think, wow, that's really interesting. I love your chord progressions, definitely your voice, but also like the way you're singing I really also learned a lot from your, kind of the melodies you chose, because I tried to, after I started working in Missionaries, I tried to, in future songs, add a little bit different lines in my melodies, because I was like, oh, that's, I don't always have to do this. I could do more of this.
Huh.
So anyways.
Yeah, you had more of like a, how should I say, especially in your more raucous songs, they were more kind of staccato-y and less melodic lines.
Yeah, no Smiths.
Yeah.
And I tried with Plastic Poly, not all of it, but I tried to start doing more of that. And certainly some of the songs I've written since, I've done more of
that. Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah.
For people out there who want to listen, so my number four is your songs, literally. Berto.
Braun is in the shower now.
Oh.
Just FYI.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, Lyndon's going, why? Wait. Why are you?
I'm turning the sound up so I can listen while I shower. Sorry if that's TMI, but we're all friends here, right?
Oh, I get it. Okay. So, Berto, my number four for you is your music.
Ah, that was weird.
Yeah.
I didn't plan this.
So, if you want to listen to our music, you can listen to my SoundCloud. There's Kirk Honda SoundCloud, and I'm guessing either no one cares to listen or I've never told anyone because I just went there like a few weeks ago and there was like three listens on the entire thing. So
people are busy.
So I have a SoundCloud, Kirk Honda. Then we have on Spotify, we have Plastic Poly, we have Missionary,
yep.
And we have Bread Knife Incident. And if you want to hear that stuff.
Absolutely.
All right, number three, Berto.
All right, well, your love of the Beatles.
Ah.
So, you know, like I know other people, everyone loves the Beatles. Who doesn't love the Beatles? Some people don't love the Beatles. But it's you've got the right kind of Beatles like, that I like, you know, and it's something we've definitely shared. And it, of course, like you were mentioning, us seeing Love together and just the fact that we get just as geeky passionate about, like we do top Beatles lists and we played a whole album together. And that is super special. I really also admire the amount of knowledge you have about it because very few people I've met also, I pride myself on knowing a lot. You know more and it's like crazy. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And you know all these little intricacies and things. Really great.
Yeah.
You know?
It's hilarious that you're like, one of my favorite chords is a major sixth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what song? And you're like, a Beatles song. And I'm like, well, what song? And you're like, we're like Fool on a Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
Yeah.
My number three for you is You Are the Perfect Podcaster. So I have no idea what universe force.
Sure.
God or Buddha or Allah or
all of the above.
Gaia or whatever. Was that a thing in Wiccan, Gaia?
I think you're thinking of Big Gay Al from South Park.
That... Because, you know, I thought doing with Bob, he didn't want to do it because he was shy.
Oh, even back in the day?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't remember
He was
that.
The first person I asked.
Yes, okay, now I do remember that.
Because it was two therapists.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, well, what other one of my best friends? Well, Berto's one of my best friends. And I picked you. And you, and since then, I've podcasted with other people thinking like, well, you know, in the same way that when I first wrote a song, I was
everyone can poop.
Everyone can podcast.
Yeah.
I asked a random one of my friends, and he's like a really good podcaster. Anyone, that is not the case. I mean, like, it is a rare thing to be able to podcast well. It's a very specific skill set that we've developed over the years. But even for people who do it a long time, they do not learn the lessons that they need to be learning. And if you listen to other podcasts out there, listeners, which I'm guessing you do, you know that it's a rare thing to find a podcast that keeps it rolling fast, keeps it interesting, makes it personal, has topics, you know, never gets boring or, you know, doesn't get boring enough anyway, you know, has all the right elements. It's a very special thing. And Berto is just a perfect podcaster.
Thank you, man.
You're number two, Berto.
That's really, really, you're right that it is weird because, you know, I would have never, you asked me, like, do you think you'd be a good podcaster? I'm like, what's a podcast? Anyways, the last three have a similar theme. So your love of movies.
Huh.
Again, everyone loves movies. I like movies. You like movies. We all like movies. Some people don't love movies.
Not the way you and I do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, it's the right kind of love of movies.
Yeah.
Just again and again, you're like a movie encyclopedia compared to like I love movies that I've seen. You've seen every movie, like, and you are so passionate about it. You go and like you rate them on IMDb and you make lists and it's just really fascinating to watch, by the way. But it also means that we can have these conversations that would be boring to so many people.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, what about that scene and what about this thing? And you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, I liked it. Can we change the subject? You know, it's just so fun and it's just great. And I've learned a lot like of movies that I should watch, you know, from movies that you've talked about. And there's nothing more fun than going to see like a Star Wars movie or something with you because I know that we're going to be able to geek out together in that super fun way. So.
Absolutely. My number two for you is you like to live life and you don't get bogged down by silly insecurities. So I kind of mentioned this before in essence, but this is my number two for you. It probably popped into my head right away when I was thinking about my favorite things about you, was that you just like, because I'm this way too, and you just like to live life. Like if say it was a work event and a picnic or something, and they had like some really boring field games or something, you'd be like, well, let's do it, you know, and let's get into it and let's have fun and let's make it competitive. And, and because I'm that way too, of just like, well, I could sit here on the picnic table and twiddle my thumbs and wonder what else I could be doing right now. Or I could actually make this fun for me.
Right.
And maybe half the people will be kind of annoyed with my energy, you know, but screw them. Like, I'm going to have a good time. And again, for me, it's like, I'm going to be dead one day, and or I'm going to be almost dead one day. And I'm going to be like, I wish I would have enjoyed my effing life.
And I'm so, like, it makes me so deeply happy that, like, you notice that and that you appreciate it. Because to me, that's always been a yin and yang thing where, yes, some people are totally overwhelmed by my energy and, like, maybe don't want that and things like that. But, and I guess selfishly, narcissistically, to me, if we're doing a thing, let's do a thing. Let's just do a thing. There have been times, especially when I've been under the influence of alcohol and I had been in a sort of depressive mood, where I get very negative. And I look back at those times of me and I'm like, I don't like that me at all, you know? And then the times where I am, like you said, even in mundane things or like when someone has a bad idea or something, I just don't care. I'm just like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that is one of the reasons why it was easy for me to join you in the podcast and be able to go along with the, because, you know, you, you, if I had been, I guess to your point earlier, more judgmental or maybe too, like, I don't want to do that on camera. There's so many things I would have said no to. Think about it, right? I don't want to, I don't know how to juggle. Don't make me juggle, you know, stuff like that. And so, I appreciate that you appreciate that.
All right. You're number one.
All right. Going with the love, the, me loving things that you love. The more general category is your love of music. Because, again, everyone loves music. But few people that I can see the same kind of, like, fire. That it's not just like, oh, we can play some songs in a band or whatever. It's just like music is this magical thing. It, when you create a song and then you play it with others, it's a new thing that didn't exist before. And like you were saying, like, I didn't care that it was just you in the audience. It was just like the magic of that creation. And I see the same thing in you. And like when you have your songs, like they're so personal and meaningful to you. And then when we talk about, when you talk about bands you've loved or concerts you've loved, it's that same kind of fire. So even though you don't, you might not be as ebullient or whatever on every topic, like I tend to be, like the things that you really do care about, like music, you are that geeky. You are that passionate. And there's other things, of course, like, that you are like this with sci-fi and physics and other things, but like to me, the more one of the ones that resonates the most with is music, and it's I mentioned the Beatles, but it's not the Beatles; it's everything. It's all music, and so I really love that.
That's interesting. It's interesting to hear you talk about this because I don't think I ever really saw it this way, but yeah, it's totally true. My number one favorite thing about Umberto is you're a good friend. Because, you know, I mean, I've basically been talking about that. But, you know, that's a big deal. We go around the sun a certain amount of times, and it can be lonely without good friends and meaningless without good friends. And so it's just great to have a good friend.
You know, it's interesting because that's like, that's not a thing that I feel I have a choice on doing, you know? like, how do I say this? Obviously, I'm not friends with everyone, you know. But I do feel a certain amount of responsibility or loyalty when I'm entering into a friendship with someone, and it's gotten refined as I've gone older because I no longer spend as much time with people as I used to. You know, when I was younger, I'd be doing stuff all the time or whatever, and so now like spending time with you, doing podcasts, or if we go out or something, that's one of the few social things I do. And I wouldn't do it if it weren't like, I honestly, like, it didn't, no offense to the patrons and the listeners, but I wouldn't do this just for like, oh, we have some supporters or things like that. I wouldn't even do it, which is crazy. Even if I felt like, man, what I do is impacting someone else, I wouldn't do it if it weren't for you. Like, yeah, and I mean that both literally because you set this up, but also,
well,
it's because I like working with you.
That's interesting because back in the day, remember when we didn't have any supporters on Patreon?
Right.
We had very few listeners. And I remember like it was very much like a pet project that was barely listened to. And I remember, and there was sort of a middle zone of years where it wasn't a high production. And it was in that kind of the lean years, let's put it. And I remember you'd be like, I'd be like, hey, you know, when can you come over? And you'd be like, okay, let's do it. And there wasn't really any benefit to the listeners. There wasn't really any benefit to you or to me or anything. And I remember just getting that sense that you were just like, yeah, I mean, he's my friend. And so, you know, let's do this.
Yeah. Well, and then, so like one of the things that makes me a little sad, I think I've mentioned this before, is that I do miss how we used to hang out more outside of the podcast. Yeah. But again, like I don't hang out with anyone now. Like I'm way too busy. But that is something that I want more of.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Because it's like all those things that I said that I love about you, like I don't love all those things about everyone else. And so I want more of that.
Well, while we're making plans, it's pretty easy for me to come over to your house and watch a movie.
It is,
like we watched, what did we watch at your house? Oh, Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2.
Yeah. So. Well, okay, hug it out. They want it on camera.
Okay, this time it's
on camera.
How about
on the good camera?
We can prove that we're in the same room. They didn't believe we were in the same room.
We're going to have to crouch down, though.
Woo! That was intense.
Make sure it's on camera, because you don't want, like, just pelvic areas touching.
Pelvic. Can you turn it?
Okay.
All right. Oh, dude. I love you, man.
Love you too, man.
All right.
You're warm.
It's hot in here. Yeah. It's getting hot in here. I might have to take off all your clothes.